2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Triple M footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
For the Fiat Ducato, never send a boy to do a van's job. With low floor height and a 2.1-tonne payload, Fiat Ducato is your right-hand van.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Rub
for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, and we are down at Blundstone Arena, formerly, of course, Belrive, in the magnificent town of Hobart. And we can't wait to get stuck into what is going to be a cracking day's football. North Melbourne playing host to the Melbourne Footy Club, one of their three games at this superb venue, and the boys have all drifted down and they look ready to go to me. I'm looking to my right ear, I see Damien Barrett. This is a man who regularly comes down to Hobart and tears it to shreds. Hello to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. Yeah, last time we were here, we had a rather large Friday night, wasn't it, I think?
Yes.
When North beat Richmond, I think, on that night to go 10-1, and then that was about it for them for 2016, Jim.
Very nice to see you down here. It's also nice to see Bristol, of course, in... well, career best form, there's no doubt about that, and a man who likes to travel, and I get the sense likes coming to Hobart. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Jim.
Very good. You're having some headphones issues.
Now, listen.
You've got to talk up, Brian, even though you can't hear yourself.
Just about had enough. I know you haven't introduced all of the team yet, but, well, we haven't seen you today, JB. You're supposed to be our team leader, and we departed once you left Toorak, and I left Romsey. Haven't seen you since.
Different carrier I go on, Bristol.
Different carrier.
That's it.
Different hotel
different
and
well,
different
you're not
team
staying.
Meeting.
You're actually heading home. I'm staying.
The three little pigs down here in Belrive. We went down there for a coffee. No Jim down there.
Nice.
No Duck down there. Duck's just pleasing himself today, staying at home. So, yeah, right. It's been a wonderful
day. Well, I want
so
you
far.
Upbeat, Brian, because this is a big day, of
it's
course, and a magnificent venue. But that is the biggest question we have, because Nath Brown, who's done a magnificent job, special comment Saturday afternoons. I understand, Nath, as I welcome you, that you won out today.
I have won out, Jim, and it's been a good trip down here. We went down to the Three Little Pigs Cafe, and there was a couple of other broadcasters in the back end, and Brian's brought the lady over there that worked behind the counter, and he said, excuse me, can you just set us up a table away from the competition up the other room? We don't want to sit next to them.
Yeah, the opposition. Just one other thing, just in the... airport that I noticed.
Yes, Brian. Yeah.
So we're
got a little whispering, Brian, going here too. Just
what's going on with the microphone?
On his game, is he?
This is almost 3KZ or 3UZ, Brian.
Anyway, we're in Tullamarine.
Yes.
A big John O'Brien was at Tullamarine because he's coming down for Fox today to do the game, which is great news. And little Nath Brown. So the two Browns together, and we're walking past a bar. We were in separate convoy to the two Browns because they were a bit different to us.
Yeah.
And we walked past a bar and a few gents out the front, four or five gentlemen out the front having their first pot at 6 a.m.
Good.
So they're on their way home to wherever they'd been. One of them yelled out, "Hey, Brownie!" And of course, you know, you expect big Jono to look around, but Jono just kept walking straight ahead, and Nate Brown turned around as if
it was him.
If they were him, and they were very disappointed that big Jono didn't turn around. Nate turned around, and they went, "No, mate, no." The
I thought they were Tiger supporters, Brian.
Didn't they understand the five on Jimmy Clement in the quarter?
They didn't, and they didn't get the humour about that either. Either did Jimmy that day when I brought it up many, many times.
Or the seven on one of the Shoals.
Well, it was brought up last night that I kicked seven on Craig Scholl. I had to point out to Beck Judd that I had actually kicked seven on Bradshaw.
A little knuckle Scholl, who now lives...
in three quarters.
Nice segue, Bristol, because knuckle Scholl lives with our man, Wayne Carey. They share a house together. Well, I should put Knuckle actually lives in Duck's house. And which gets us to the... where is he?
Who?
Wayne.
Duck is at home today. I don't know why he's at home and not down here, but he's not here. So
well,
we're disappointed.
He
was on TV last night.
He's on TV. Yeah. He seemed to be well and not at all, you know, looking ill.
Right.
So as far as I know, he's ready to go, but...
flights were booked. W. Carey on Qantas was booked.
So, Bristol, has he very quickly slipped in with Chris Judd into the I'm not travelling anywhere sort of category?
Yeah, well, it's a bit the category that you're in, JB.
I'm here, Brian.
You've travelled, but only because North are playing.
Bristol, I am a traveller.
If this was Melbourne Carlton, you wouldn't be here.
I am a traveller.
Jim, why didn't you want to travel with us today, though? It was because all set up. Again, you're on the email too.
Same. I travel on Virgin Purple, you know that. And very nice it was too. So down I came on a separate carrier and got the car out to the lovely hotel, and then I was first here. Right. I had a bit of an issue, Brian.
Yeah.
I tried to get down to the North Rooms. I had to very quickly see someone. It was going to take a second. So I said to some of the great staff that help us here with Triple M, how do I get down to the ground? And he sort of pointed out the right way to do it, which was to go down the back and then through the bottom.
I can only hear when I talk. I can't
Bristle,
hear JB
that's,
now.
That's you there. Oh. You've hit the wrong button. Look at Brian. He's all over the place. Now he's off. He's taken off, Bristle. What happened, Nafe, is I then saw the coach's box, which is just about two boxes down here. Not a person in the ground, by the way. There would have been eight people here, I reckon. So I thought, bugger it, instead of going down the back and finding my way through the back, I'll just go down through the coach's box.
I'm the former chairman.
Exactly right. Yeah. And walk down the bloody stairs and then just hook into our rooms. A minute later, I'm back up. Anyway, as I'm doing it, the bloke behind the jump with the security top on gives it the Brayshaw. That's how he said, you're in the media now, aren't you? I said,
now. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I like the thing he always actually was, but yes, I am. He goes, yeah. Not allowed to come through here.
To your response?
Get out of my way. I said, come on. No, it's going to take me 2 seconds. I've got to quickly see someone and I'm back up again. But whenever anyone starts a sentence with your surname, Purple, you know the conversation is not going to go well.
He's advanced it before it starts.
Yeah, exactly.
I get the feeling this is a fractured team, though. Friday night footy, the Friday
this
huddle.
Is an interesting question. Now,
we
Bristle's,
all went out together.
Bristle's roaming back.
Bristle's got a roaming back on.
Got the Brian. Handheld mic here. And,
what are you doing, Brian?
The rabbit's ears. So this is going well for me. I'm really encouraged to go on with my work here.
What's going on, Brian? Are you having some technical issues?
The technical issues, but more importantly, the issues with the Triple M footy team. Now,
right,
we're sensing that your team on a Friday night, Nath and Damo, is
very solid.
They're having
we're
too many social activities.
Dinners. Dinner with the wives and girlfriends.
Dinners
and wives and girlfriends. That's never happened in Triple M footy history, so that's obviously a Juddy and Nath Brown influence, I would have thought. This is and what it's done is it's fractured the Saturday team. It's sent us off shockwave style, and none of us quite know what we should do. I'm wondering whether I should call an emergency meeting on Monday of everyone, whether anyone would actually turn up. So whether the emergency meeting is the right way to go, I'm just not sure yet. But anyway, I'm holding the antenna and the microphone.
Do you think
we need
to do something, though, BT? Because there has been an uneasiness, I reckon, for a good 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, it has. It's been fractioned. I'm not sure, Damo, whether it's you just deciding which one you're going to go with, because
I'm all in on both.
Because you have been with us for 10 years, and now I think you're feeling that Friday's a bit sexy. And you might
Bristle,
latch onto a couple of modern trendies.
Even though, Bristle, and I'm agreeing with you, by the way, I think you absolutely might be right smack onto something.
Oh.
But if you look at 10 plus, I'd be staying with Saturday if I were you, Purple, because there's only one of our shifts that's all people listening dominant, and that is the one you're attached to right now.
And see, this is what I'm talking about.
So stay where you are.
This is what I mean.
I'm not talking about going anywhere, Jim.
And Duck is my worry. Where is he? This is a man who's
picking and choosing. Let's have a guess at what he would be doing today. Anyone hazard a guess at what he might get up to this afternoon?
This is what I mean by a fractured team. We're even fracturing against each other. But, Brian, well, Duck today, let's face it.
Where is he?
He's a single operator. And
it's got to do with a girl.
I believe there's no babysitting going on today. I'm not sure whether he's gone to the cinema.
Just a big babysitting.
Or whether he's off down to Dimatina's in Lygon Street.
Crowbar a restaurant in.
Oh, I don't know.
How have you done that, Bruce?
It's the only one I could think of.
I think he's going to get takeaway.
Is he?
Yeah. Eat in.
Anyway, he's very strange, the arrangement he's got. And with Triple M,
You sound like you know more than you're letting on here.
Well, I'm just sick of it. I've had enough. I've come down to Hobart here today, and I want to be here.
That's it?
Yep.
As you can see.
And with the technical problems you're having, Brian?
Yeah, anyway. So, who's playing? North are playing Melbourne.
North and Melbourne. But last night we need to discuss. You were there, Bristle.
Yep.
As were you guys, and I know you were as...
intensity good, skills not so great.
Yeah, so what do you put that down to? Is it just that the teams are about there, or is it because the intensity was high, the quality of the rest dropped away?
Sydney playing well, we know that. But they've always been like that. Even when they're, as recently as playing in grand finals, they've always been a team that perhaps, get it done, great intensity without great skill and great flair and great desire to have people watching them on mass play. That's always been them. Hawthorn have been the opposite. Hawthorn were good. When you consider the Hawks in the last 5 weeks, JB, have beaten the three top sides.
Yep.
Sorry, They've either beaten, drawn, or lost to one of them by 3 points. Yep. So they've been incredibly competitive with the three top sides. Look at the players they've got out.
I'm about to say, their injury list is
about seven, of which, Dame, I think they only a chance to get maybe three of those back
probably
for this year.
Best. Yeah. Yeah,
so, you know, they're not going to make it, though, are they? They're going to run out of games.
I just don't know, do you? There's something semi-magical about what Alistair Clarkson has done after round six this year, BT. And I don't think they're ruling anything out of their lofty hopes and possibilities right now.
I know we're speaking to Hodgie a little bit later, but would Hodge, in his own mind, I know he won't reconsider his retirement, but would he just be waking up today and thinking, gee, I'm going all right. Isn't he, Brownie?
It could be a big what if. He might be thinking that. But I think he's made the decision. I'll find it very hard if they... I don't think they can make it. They're still half a game out with clubs above them to play today. So there's basically a game and a half out. So they have to win another four
in a
row.
If they do, you wouldn't want to play them, would you?
No, you wouldn't want to play them. And full credit to Alistair Clarkson. He's thrown that list around. And obviously the papers today picked up what we spoke about last night on radio and just verbatim put that in the paper, how Alistair Clarkson has done that. But
this
he's been
the,
a genius.
Friday huddle?
Yeah, the Friday huddle. Yeah.
Hey, Sydney, Bristol don't score enough. I mean, it's an obvious thing, but when they've got control of the game, and I reckon twice last night they had good control for about 15 minutes, but they just don't put that on the scoreboard. And it was the same again last night, and it's got the thing that's... Ultimately, I think they've got to change within what they're doing. I mean, John Longmire's been unbelievably successful, but when you've got a modern footy, when you've got the game by the pills, you must rattle the scores off.
When you play Sydney, Brownie, and even when they're in front, you feel like you can always close the gap because it's 20 points, 25 max, isn't it? They don't. They're never 8 goals in front of you.
They had been scoring okay up until last night. I think the part about Naismith going down, not being able to play much, took the big fella out of the goal square.
Sinclair,
who had played so well the previous 2 weeks. Buddy was off last night, so they needed another avenue to goal, and they didn't have it because Naismith was down. I thought McAvoy just took control of the game, and where they won the game, through McAvoy.
Happy about Sinclair. I mean, he kicked 5 last week.
Yep.
Put a question to you. Will he ever kick 5 again in a game?
I think he could. I think he's more dangerous as a forward now. I watched him in the ruck last night. He got pushed around a little bit similar to what Majak did the week before, pushed around in the ruck. And I looked up at John Longmire in the box a couple of times and he was filthy about it. But I think he's now a better forward than what he is a ruckman. And that's his spot. And I do think he'll kick big bags. He took a couple of big marks last night. When he gets a run and jump at it, I think he's a very good footballer.
And but to a couple of news lines out of the game, when a game is decided by 6 points, all goal review incidents are scrutinised, as was the case with Shields kicking what was awarded a goal but reviewed, and John Longmire, the Swans coach, post-match had a take on it, which I think's well within reason.
I really like the concept of the goal review, but unless we get better cameras, it sort of almost defeats the purpose of it. I really like the idea that you try and get the right score, but surely there's better vision that we can achieve. There's better cameras or better views that we can get in world sport somewhere that can actually determine and slow the ball down so it's not as blurry, so you can actually work out what it is. Hopefully we can actually invest and get some quality cameras that can actually determine what's actually happened rather than just sort of seeing the blurred vision that we see now.
And that's right, and there are better cameras, but John, a few years ago there weren't any cameras, and now we've got cameras. And so where does all this finish? You know, to what stage do we go? How much money do we spend? Because it's all about money. Well, technology can be enhanced and improved. There's no doubt about that.
We keep getting told, though, BT, it's world's best practice on every level of the AFL. And the goal review is not world's best practice. There's not even cameras at every single venue.
That's the other thing. I mean, the difference between 7 cameras in the goalpost and the Fox ones are different as well.
Like they might be here today.
Yeah. And... look, again, John Longmire made the point really, I think, validly. But, Jim, you couldn't, I don't think, overturn that decision, given that goal umpire had called a goal. I'm like both you, BT and Brownie, you called it at the time. It looked like it was touched, but you couldn't, I don't think, have the magnitude of making that decision, the way the technology
Which has
out.
Become like the third umpire in cricket. As soon as the field umpire says not out and it's an LBW, it has to be a catastrophic howler for you ever to overturn it.
Remember, it's the howler that we originally were trying to pick up on these.
Correct.
That last night, I reckon you could put 100 people in the room and ask them what they thought of it, and it would probably go 50-50 either way. So what decision do you make in the end?
Yeah, and the other news line before we get Luke Hodge on to have a chat about the win was the Will Langford kissing on Jared McVeigh. Will Langford spoke to you, BT, as part of the roaming Brian, and then McVeigh himself spoke to Triple M, and there's a bit to play out on this matter.
I said, do you want a kiss? He said, yeah, sure. So I said, oh, all right. I've sort of thrown it out. I know, I'm always just talking to Oppo Quays and trying to keep it nice and lighthearted and having a bit of fun out there. So, I don't know, got a free kick out of it. So it's some benefit.
He did it beforehand as well earlier on, and I probably reacted too much and gave away a free kick. Yeah, look, I'm not going to stand there and take that. So, no, I thought it was pretty disrespectful, but, yeah, look, that's the way it is.
Second voice there being McVeigh, who spoke exclusively to you, Brownie, post-match and the crew on Friday night footy.
No, I think he... overreacted, I think, after a game. I think that Jared McVeigh, and I'm very, very different to obviously a lot of people may be, Jared McVeigh's thoughts, but I would have thought that you just take it what it is. I think it was just a joke after the game, and maybe just say, okay, well, let's get on with it, rather than say it was a disrespectful act.
Throwaway waffle for me. First on Langford's part in the rooms after the game, he wasn't really, you know, he wasn't being serious about it, and he just, oh, I have a bit of a chuckle, a bit of a kick. And for McVeigh to react the way he is, What is wrong?
I can't imagine you reacting all that favourably if someone dared try to do that to you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be coming off after the game and saying, oh, that was disrespectful. I'd deal with it then and there.
In a real aggressive sort of bear yeah. hug choking well, move?
You would have nearly killed him.
I could go back
I would have thought.
And tongue him. I don't know. you know, we'd give him a big kiss on the mush. I'm not sure what I'd do with him. But it depends at the time how, in what frame of mind you're in. But I'm with Brownie. I think he's overreacted.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. Now, at times, the episodes get pretty emotional, like Ricky Ponting talking about his son.
Two lots of 3 weeks at a time in intensive care where you're just not really sure what's going to happen. But, no, he got through the first one fine. And then when he got to 6 months of age, he had another pretty serious infection that we didn't know anything about, the doctors didn't know much about, and yeah, that was the scariest one because he was sort of shut down for, well, he was, I think, sedated for about 4 or 5 days at one stage with where he couldn't open his eyes, and yeah.
Yeah, I can obviously see the effect it has on you, mate, which is why it's, now you've got me upset. That's what happens when you've got young kids, mate.
Fucking deep breath and get on with it, eh?
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Oh, big effort from Buddy. Wrapped up Burton nicely. Hanbury on the wrong foot. Almost had a fresh airy. Burton kept it in. Oh, Buddy wants a piece of his old mate. Caught him high. He got Hodgy high.
Back to Sicily under pressure. Now Glass, cool to Hodge. Buddy Franklin came late and gave him a little clip around the ear.
Yeah, it was nice to watch last night. Luke Hodge, a warrior, of course, and his great mate Buddy Franklin in the other jumper. And a couple of times they came together, and it was fantastic. He joins us now, the superstar Luke Hodge, Triple M Zone, of course. Welcome, Hodgie.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Tell us the banter that went on around that, please, because it looked to me like early on you weren't that interested, and then Bud landed one that actually sort of stung you a little. And at that point you said, righto, bugger it, big man, I'm coming.
No, I think that's just a part of footy. The first one was a bit of an accident, I think. And then the second one, it hit my shoulder first. But that's what I said to Bud. I said, you can go me once, you're not doing me twice. But yeah, I think that's a part of football. Look, both teams, I think it was good to watch from what I hear, but it was good to play and it was a good physical style of football. I think that's what people love about our game.
It had a real intensity about it, Hodgie, didn't it? Particularly, for the whole game, really. And as you say, it was great viewing for us sitting there because I think that niggle actually adds to the game, the spectacle, the intensity, the commitment that you guys are showing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Sydney have turned their season around by doing that. They've obviously had a few target players that they've gone after just as a bit of a team focus. And as you said, as long as it doesn't go too far, I think everyone understands when it does cross the line, and I don't think it was crossed last night. I thought it was good to play, and it was physical. It was an upbeat style of footy, and I no doubt obviously we come out on the right side on the scoreboard. But I think everyone enjoyed the style of footy.
Do you reckon we're in danger, Hodgie, of just crossing that line, that sort of invisible line with the match review panel and what you can and can't do? Are we? It just seems to me that the last few weeks we've been going a bit too far with all this stuff.
I think we need to cut out a few things. So I can understand at times why they do put people up with the Tiki Touches one, because I think they're buggered either way, because if they don't report them, people have a go at it saying that they need to be reported. But then if they do report them, they say the game's soft. So I think they're stuck in between a hard place. But I think the best part about our football game is the fact that blokes can go out there and be physical, be hard, as long as there's nothing out of character or the ones across the line too far. But I think that's why the game was so good last night, because both teams are having a red-hot crack trying to set up their season.
So, look, with that rock and hard place reference you just made yourself, and on what the Match Review panel has done in relatively recent weeks, does Buddy Franklin have a couple of cases to answer to?
I think if you look at the style of the game that was played last night, both the people talking about is the clothesline. But if you look at me, I'm 6'1". When I kicked that ball, I was probably about 5'10". I had my right leg bent. I was slanting over, and he made contact with my shoulder first. If that didn't slip up, there's no issue to be worried about. So I think one part they've got to look at is the actual what's happening in the game, the position. Yes, he'd come and be a physical tackle, but everyone wants to tackle like that, and Buddy had a bit of steam up. So I think they need to take into consideration every aspect, and I think if they did that, Budge would be fine.
Hodgie, have you ever planted a kiss on another player on a football field?
I have in a grand final, but it was a very close mate who I knew pretty well.
What did you think about that last night? And more importantly, Jared McVeigh saying he thought it was probably a little bit disrespectful.
I didn't see it till afterwards. And then my brother, when I got home last night, sort of said he planted a couple on him. I don't know. I know Bud pretty well, so I sort of knew how he was going to take him on. He knew that I wasn't being a smart aleck or anything like that. I saw that Jared was a little bit peeved, but I think he actually tried to plant one on his lips, I think, which got him a little bit angry.
Yeah. A little bit too far, that one.
Hey, Hodgie, your team's use of your captain fascinates me. I thought he was absolutely brilliant last night, but a couple of times late in the game when, to me, it looked like the game was right on the line and there to be won, I kept screaming at the telly going, get the big man down in the square and get him clunking it, because to me it's a bit like getting Dennis Lilly and not giving him the new ball. And then finally he got down there and did exactly that. What is the instruction with Jared Ruffhead? Where is he meant to be on the field at any time?
I think it's a week-to-week basis on what we think we can use the big fella the best. I think we've got a pretty versatile forward line with Showmakers down there with Timmy O'Brien now, so you want to give them as much responsibility about being the key forward as we do Ruffy. But I thought his last quarter last night was as good a footy as he's played this year. For him to stand up, kick some goals, a few physical acts. Him and Howie clashed in the first quarter that both sent him off with the blood rule, but I thought as far as a captain's game and what the big fella did last night in that last quarter was a really, really good game for him.
Yeah, he was very impressive. Sean Burgoyne was just spectacular at various stages throughout the game, Hodgie. And, you've sorted yourself. You know what you're doing for next year. You're moving on. There's maybe one or two others with Gibbo on that too yet to decide. But what would your recommendation as the leader of this club on field, if you were asked your opinion about Burgoyne going again, what would you be saying?
Oh, look, if you're going purely on form, people worry too much about age these days. I don't think you can fault what Sean has been able to do. If he has dropped a yard of pace, he's still quicker than most other blokes when he puts the foot down. I thought he'd better rip his hammy off the bone when he kicked that 55-metre goal last night.
Yeah.
He's just got that knack of being able to, when the team needs something, he'll stand up, whether he plays in the midfield or whether he plays forward and kicks a goal. He just knows when to do that little bit extra, bit of X factor, and set the team up.
Look, the win last night leaves you 2 points outside of the eight, albeit with 8 games still in round 19 to come. But do you think wildly now about what could happen in the remaining home and away games?
To be honest, it hasn't been spoken about. From the mid part of the year when we were really struggling, we just had to focus on, it's the old boring cliche, and focus on what we've got to do. Because we've got so many younger guys in our side, it was pretty much the scoreboard's irrelevant, the win-loss is irrelevant. It's just trying to teach the young guys how to play and how to play the Hawthorn way. And the best part about it is they've been able to, see what Sicily did last night in the last quarter. You can see Burton, I know Hardwick had a concussion last night, but also Brandon Budd. These guys have taken the opportunity and playing some really good footy. So it hasn't been spoken about, but if we continue to do what we're doing at the moment, it should take care of itself.
Do you feel, though, that the form of last night would warrant another 4 wins coming and therefore hitting the finals potentially?
Oh, I think if you look at the season to date, it's been such an up-and-down season. You look at, I think there was a patch throughout the middle of the year where the team, number 17, won 7 games in a row. So it's very hard to go in and say that any wins Every week's going to be a Monty to win. So I know we've got Richmond next Sunday, which we're looking at. And look, they're sitting fourth at the moment and playing some really good footy. So we'll have to focus on them on Monday.
Hodgie, we can only speculate what Alistair Clarkson does behind closed doors with the game plan, but you beat Sydney twice this year, two totally different styles of play. When he makes those changes and he puts Sicily and Gunster behind the ball and Jarre forward, is there a different game plan? Because you seem like at all costs now you're playing on where you were holding onto the ball earlier on in the season.
I think it changed. When we went into the meeting and they had Gunston down full back, centre back, I'm like, oh, he's lost his marbles here. Because Gunner's never manned up in his life. But I think it's what the coach has been able to do the last couple of years. He's willing to put people in different positions just so they get that extra position if they're struggling. Gunner's obviously having a tough time up forward, probably because how we're moving the ball. But you threw him down half back because he's got a good run. We're lacking a little bit from what Birch had, what Birch gave us down back. But being able to have players play two or three different positions, as he's done with Sicily, Burton, and also Gunners, it's just going to help us going forward.
What's happening today, Hodgie? What's on the agenda today?
Not much. I've got a friend's Bucks, but I'll be pretty well behaved there. I've got my wife's organised with a few friends at dinner tonight, so it'll be a very calm day.
It's not why Duck stayed back in Melbourne, was it, to go to the same show?
No, I was actually going to ask you guys what's going on in there. I hear there's a bit of turmoil in the box. From what I've heard throughout the year, the Saturday team has been the closest, tight-knit group. And all of a sudden, someone stays back, someone's down there spending all the time with his missus. What's going on down there?
Just keep yourself tidy, Hodgie, because we just get the feel that...
You might be drafted in.
You might be drafted in at the expense of, probably the North Melbourne centre-half forward.
Hey, we play Sunday next week, so I do have my Saturday afternoon free.
Ooh. Well, Hodgie, you've been running around in the twos and doing a brilliant job, but when you get elevated to the ones, we need you to lift like a mare's tail. Hey, listen, a couple of weeks ago you had the big function. It was brilliant, I understand. It was a great night, and so it should have been because of everything you've done at Hawthorn. A couple of the speeches I want to talk to you about. Yeah. Firstly, I heard that Johnny Barker went straight back to where he's always been, and that is the most boring speaker any man's ever heard at a function, and really sort of sucked the oxygen out of the place. And then Birch got up, the snake, and where was he at? Because my mail was that he was a bit erratic.
I think you're pretty harsh on Johnny Barker there. I heard that was brought up, and I said to my brother, I said he was fine. So I reckon you're a bit hard on Johnny.
You're marking him easy, Hodgie, when you say fine. It's fine for him, but really...
No, the hardest thing for the guys that spoke is Clarko put up Campbell Brown first. And anyone who's been in a room with Campbell Brown, he loves to hold the floor. He spoke most about himself for the whole time. but everyone knows, and whoever's had him at Sportsman Night, is Brown is the best at getting everyone's attention. He can tell a story, whether it's true or not. And then he had the other guys come behind. So anyone who had to follow Brown, it would have been tough. But Birch was pretty...
What was that word?
He hates talking at the best of times. But when he got around a few of the mates afterwards, he might have had a beverage or two and was a little bit nervous. And I don't think the words came out that good.
So how long... Well, this tour is going on for another 4 weeks unless you play finals, Hodgie. But do you get... It's a bit of a parade, isn't it? It's like a big, long sort of tour of duty that you've sorted out for yourself. It's Toyota tour style.
The whole thing about doing it 6 weeks ago, with 6 weeks to go with the 300 years, so I knew I was going to get asked what I was going to do. And I thought rather than lie, we knew what was going to happen. So we thought we'd tell everyone, but it's sort of turned a little bit bigger than what we expected. but yeah, as I said, I'm enjoying playing the last four, if not more, games. But I'm still enjoying it. It's great being there, the boys.
Good on you, Hodgie. You're actually breaking up on us a little there, but we love you jumping on. Thanks very much. Congratulations on last night and enjoy the day.
Thanks, guys. And make sure you sort that out of there.
it's unsortable.
No, it is. There are some issues that can't be sorted.
He's amongst the finest interviewers of our time.
I'm ungettable.
When he's on the clock, Parko, Denton and Oakes take notice.
I am the man.
He's one of the best.
This is about me.
He's Bristol's Vault.
Welcome back to 3Z The Good Sports.
Start again.
Yeah.
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
A nice warm coffee here anyway to keep us going.
Good morning to you, Leroy.
Stay tuned and keep happy with the Cradle 3Z.
Hope he gets paid well for that.
Fun radio for listening at its best.
this weekend. In fact, the... No.
Hey, live a bit, cos this is it, the greater free.
Gee, I've stumped them this morning.
Radio, it's great.
You're on your way to work too, Brian, I suppose.
That's right, Brian.
A lot of people getting up at this time, aren't there?
Here's your musical invitation for some recreation you'll enjoy.
Doo-wah, diddy-diddy.
Can I stop you for one moment? It may be an important call.
Hello? Hello?
So dial 930 Sun Radio, it's great.
Sensational, good stuff.
Matty did a beautiful job in the production studio. Well, he found the old Brian. 3UZ song.
Is that you, Brian?
And just rolled Bristol through Brian. The false stop.
Oh, yeah, Brian.
Brian. Brian.
Absolutely magnificent. That you, Brian?
You still laugh at it every time.
It's quarter to six, Jim, and people are getting up.
Yeah. Now, we've got lots of news. We've got stuff you don't know. The other thing, just before we leave last night, Bristol, that I liked was the bit of byplay between, because you know this is my favourite thing in football, nearly, Zach Jones and the young boy Sicily from Hawthorn.
Oh, yeah.
And I especially liked in the middle of, I don't know whether it was the second quarter, Nath, I can't remember when it was, when they'd had already had a bit of a blue and they'd had some nice verbal exchanges down in the forward pocket. And then young Sis just didn't stick the tackle.
Which he's capable of not doing.
And Zach Jones has just made a beeline for him. And I just had to pause and go back and have another look at it.
I love that sort of stuff. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good for footy.
Hey, doesn't he remind you? I mean, you guys are probably too young, but a very young Dermot Brereton, like in his first or second year, Sicily, almost identical in the way he looks and his attitude. Blow up, capable of doing the brilliant and
talented,
capable of missing the tackle.
Yes.
And the verbal stoushing that was going, he just got it written all over him, I reckon.
Carries on a bit, doesn't he? But I like it. Oh, he's good to watch. He's good to watch. And you'd hate to say to people like that, don't take that out of your game, because I thought it was entertaining last night.
It's fair to say,
Jones was good too.
He's going to irritate a lot of players verbally, isn't he?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think irritate a lot of fans too. He's going to be one of those players that people either love or hate, but we appreciate the way that he goes about it.
And then BT, the in-house issue last week with the exchange with Taylor Duray and then Ruff. I actually loved watching it, and I've liked the way they both handled it and dealt with it very, I think, coolly and calmly, and everyone moved on.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant. It's great. I've always found it, Nath, that part of footy I absolutely love, because you can just, you watch, we all get the best seat in the house to do our job. And you can tell when a couple of blokes don't like each other.
Got a bit of swagger, hasn't he?
You can feel, just get the gobs
you
going.
You can feel the heat. And there's always someone at the club that you play at that you don't like. Now, Brownie would...
always, Pete.
No, there is. No. Let me tell you something about footy clubs. They're a game of forced relationships.
Exactly,
you are forced,
Brian,
to get on with the guys that sit in the locker next to you. I can tell you.
It's a bit like the Triple M box on a Saturday.
I didn't like many of the guys.
many, Bristol.
There were quite a few, and you just had that little bit of a, raise there. Brownie, who was the one you didn't like?
I'm not going to name names.
No, you are,
Brownie. It was people I didn't like, without a doubt. There's people that, but you had to trust them and respect them come game day, and that's when you really got found
but
out.
But there are. People think that, they're the your best mates. I can tell you, Damo, that out here today in this North Melbourne side, in the Melbourne side, there will be guys that genuinely don't like each other.
Like hatred sort of style.
Yeah, hatred. But
a bit like you and Robbo at the Herald Sun when you were both there together.
If you went to the Herald Sun work today, I mean, Robbo, he might get dropped down a few rungs, but he'd still be there and you'd still walk past each other in the corridor and you get on professionally and you move on. I mean,
Who did you dislike the most at your time in footy?
There were a few there.
Go back to your Richmond days first. Who did you... No, have problems with?
No, Richmond was pretty good.
Or Collingwood did.
No, I'm not going to name names, Damon.
You had a problem with the coach, didn't you, at the time? You wrote that book that was published two weeks after the premiership.
Didn't have a problem with the coach.
You did. He had a problem
with
you.
Just didn't play me.
He dropped you.
Hey, I'm looking forward to lots of the footy this weekend, including this game here, of course, but Collingwood and Adelaide Purple. And Jake Kelly gets to play against the team that passed him over twice as a father-son. And then he's now gone to Adelaide. And credit to him, he is playing ripping footy.
He is, isn't he? Really stood up this year. I mean, BT's been reminding us of his talents that go back to 2015 with the special relationship he had with Philip Walsh and then struggled from a footy perspective.
Didn't play any games last year.
Yeah, and none after, I think, the passing of Philip Walsh or thereabouts. And The fact that he's hung around, Jim, and toiled and got himself to a point now where he's actually in demand and is playing as well as anyone in that back line, which is a pretty star-studded back line.
Brownie is he understands his limitations. He knows he's not a great kick. He knows he's a good defender, so he doesn't try and do any more than he's capable of. He's really got that part of his game spot on.
And you know what? From a forward's point of view, he's the sort of player you'd hate to play on. There's backmans you don't mind playing on because you know you can get off them because they'll
He's there all the time.
But he's one of those blokes. I put him in the Max Hudson category. Like, you don't think of Max Hudson as an amazing player over the course of his career. But you ask any forward who played on Max Hudson in his career, they'd all say, I hated playing on Max Hudson because 100%. He was always there. He niggled, he scragged, and it was just a physical game that I didn't want to be a part of.
I mean, Jake Kelly, give you an insight and type of guy. I don't know him very well, know his parents reasonably well. He's the sort of guy that weighs his food. You know, he's that particular about preparing himself. So he's getting, what you're seeing is Jake Kelly, halfback, doing, you know, just a very nice little job. But he's done everything he can to make himself the best he can possibly be. And his best is nowhere near as good as the Stars, but it's good enough to play AFL footy.
It's a great story too, Purple. He lived with Danger, I think, for 3 years, 2 years over there, and Danger was apparently really good with him, like really took him under his wing. And, you know, especially when, as Bristol says, he had that season where he wasn't getting a look at the seniors. He was kept him up, and my understanding is that Patrick Dangerfield was brilliant for him.
Yeah, okay. And he fits in really well, doesn't he, with that whole backline area. We saw Alex Keith introduced last week, and he retained his spot. Your man, BT, who you keep talking about, Jake Lever, is in there. Tarly is there. Mitch McGovern, it's a good backline.
Matt Prittis, let's move on. Surprised us all or not? Given that he had another year to run on his deal.
Surprised me, but I haven't seen a lot.
When you signed a deal 7 weeks ago to go on for an extra year.
What happened?
It screams that the club has probably had a rethink on where he's at and where the club's at. Maybe 7 weeks ago they thought they were still pushing for a premiership and they've realised they're not now.
Well, it happened during the week, BT. Adam Simpson had the conversation with Matt Prittis on Tuesday to the point where whatever was exchanged in that conversation was the point of no return. And the way it was told to me, I still expected it to play out this year without there being any finality to it. But obviously we saw yesterday Matt Prittis call the press conference and say that's it. And the way the conversation went, now Adam Simpson's got every right to have that chat, hasn't he, Brownie? We discussed it obviously last night, and that's the way he saw it. He basically said to Matty Prittis that he would, if he was going on into 2018, he should expect to spend some time, possibly a bit of time in the waffle. And if you are to be playing seniors in a role that's very different to the one that he's always had, and we saw him explain that yesterday, that he just couldn't bring himself to play the different role because it's not what he's known. But so I think he's handled himself really well.
Lost three of their last five games. You
seems like a realisation that they no longer are a premiership threat and they need to start looking at the future. It's quite bold by the West Coast Eagles if that's the way they're going. And I think they have because they've realised that, okay, we had a list. We played in the 2015 grand final. We probably should have won a premiership with the list we had, but we haven't. We've moved past that now. Matty Prittis has got to go. We got Mitchell here because we thought we'd win a premiership. He's going to retire at the end of the year. We got Drew Petrie to help that out. Although Drew's been good, he'll be gone at the end of the year as well. So they need to start looking at where are they going to get back up the ladder in a short amount of time, and I don't think Prittis is going to be there.
The only interest to me is the re-signing. Otherwise, it makes perfect sense. If he and the coach have had a chat and it's all over, but why then 7 weeks earlier?
I still think they thought they were a premiership chance at that point.
I think, Jim, too, again, you piece this together post what happened in the conversation on Tuesday and the announcement yesterday, but that conversation about 2018 had begun last year and it just took a while to finally materialise. And then once they got there, they announced it. But clearly Adam Simpson wasn't part of, you know, that conversation.
Will he because coach he's now or something? Is he going to get his dough or is he just...
He'll have a payout of sorts. Right. Now, whether it's the full rack rate of what he was signed up for, BT,
they must
don't
have
know.
Been 6-2 or thereabouts. I'm just looking at their run here. 6 wins, 2 losses after round 8.
Is that when they beat the Bulldogs over there?
Yeah. So that must have been about the point where they thought they could win
it. They were going well.
Yeah.
Adam McDougall is the health hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall.
Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Back at Bell Reef Stadium, here we go. We've got the Melbourne Footy Club and North Melbourne about to do battle. You've got Damien Barrett, Brian Taylor, Nathan Brown up here and two very, very, very good-looking men down on the green stuff. Mickey Roberts is going to do a great job down there, and with him, the coach of the Melbourne Footy Club, Simon Goodwin. Mickey, take it away.
What an intro that is. We'll take that every day, Goody. But I tell you what, no change at the Melbourne Footy Club from last week. Confidence in the side from you, but also blokes just busting to get into the side. It's a nice position to be in.
Yeah, look, it is, Robbo. We haven't, we've had a fair bit of, lack of continuity over a long period of the year. So to have no change for us is a little bit different. But we got a big chunk of players back last week who played their first game in Watts, Salem, Tyson, and someone else. I can't remember who it was. It was that many coming in. But to get them back playing and playing really well was really important for us. So getting some continuity at this time of year is really important.
D's haven't played finals for 11 years, and you haven't knocked over this mob for 11 years. Surely. It's probably bad to look back on milestones, but surely you put that to bed.
Yeah, look, it's one of those things, we've been a footy club that's obviously had a poor record over a number of clubs for a long period of time. We couldn't win Etihad, we couldn't beat West Coast, we couldn't beat St Kilda, and we've actually never spoken about it as a footy club. All we've really focused on is becoming a good footy club and a good, consistent team, and those things end up looking after themselves. But, we know it's an important game. We know North Melbourne have had the wood over us for a long period of time, but, today's a fresh day.
Hey, Goody, I've loved the form of Neville Jetta this year. I think he encapsulates where Melbourne have been and where they're going to, because not only does he run and carry off half back, make great decisions, but he's really good one-on-one when you need him to stand up as well.
Yeah, he's added some layers to his game, Brownie. He positions himself incredibly well away from the ball. He's he can take best position on his man in front, and then when the ball comes in his area, his ability to win one-on-ones is incredible. So he's had a fantastic year, Nev, and we're looking forward to him continuing that on.
What's the most pleasing aspect, Goody, of what you've seen the side do this year? What's the one thing collectively you've done, you've gone, yeah, that's great?
I think we've started to really establish a brand, PT, a brand of how we play around the footy. And it's consistent, and our supporters and the media and everyone that looks at the Melbourne Footy Club can see a brand that's starting to emerge. And with that, we've had a collective improvement right across the board individually as well. So, at the start of the year, we set out to establish a brand of play, especially around the contest, and I think that's what we've been able to do.
So, you've obviously been around footy for a long time, and you've seen some clubs fall away under adverse circumstances. When you got, I suppose, hit with those injuries and those off-field issues that seem to be a bit regular, and the loss to Sydney as it was, and another heavy loss to Adelaide, you've responded to those losses each time. Has that been really, something that gives you a sense of pride that you've been able to hold this together during these tough times with this youngish list?
Yeah, absolutely, Dame. I think, and it comes a little bit back from the type of people we've recruited and to the football department, how we've trained them up. When they are under pressure and they are facing some things that require a bit of resilience, they've been able to stand up, and it's been a collective effort from not only the players but also the staff, the medical team, and everyone to keep the whole messaging together and really build belief within the footy club. And they've fed off that, and when they've responded, we've grabbed hold of it and really reinforced it with our playing group.
Just one aspect of that situation we just referred to there with the Clayton Oliver, unfolding story as it was back at the time. What did you say to him just to sort of keep him up about his situation?
It's more just, we know he's competitive and we know that he's just driven for success. And it really is just not responding to people, not responding to criticism. He's got to learn from those experiences because he's such a great kid and he does so much right around the footy club and the way he prepares. But those little things that happen in his game or reacts to something probably pulls down what he's trying to create individually and also reflects on the team. So he's learnt from that. He's a great kid to work with, and we've seen so far through the year how he's changed his body shape and the way he goes about his footy. So he's a continual work in progress like any young player is, but he's only in his second year of footy as well.
You'd have to think he hasn't done a whole lot wrong to get criticism that he has in the football world. If that's the worst thing he's going to do in his career, I reckon he's going okay.
Oh, he's going just fine, Brownie. I haven't seen a young kid be able to play the game the way he plays it in his second year of footy and be so consistent with it. He's just a joy to coach, and he's loved by his teammates and all the supporters.
Hey, Goody, how has Cam Pedersen handled the fact that he's an emergency down here today? I just saw him out on the ground there having a shot at goal before. Gorn's come back into the side, Hogan's come back into the side, and all of a sudden it's simply a team balance thing for him. How has he handled that?
He's been fine, BT. You know, he his first 4 or 5 weeks when Max was out of the team was outstanding.
Yeah, it was.
And then probably as the time went on, he's probably 4 out of his last 5 were probably below the way he'd like to play. And he knows that. So he's worked really hard. He went back at VFL level on the weekend and played really well there. So we're confident in Cam's ability and his ability to play consistently at AFL level. It's just, once again, it's competition for spots is high again, and he needs to perform to a level consistently for that to happen.
A couple from me, Goody. Firstly, talking about body shape, I know you're putting an enormous amount of time in at Barry's gym, getting in there with Jimmy and slapping the leather. Have you found that it's helped you, or was the rig already in commanding shape?
No, it's out of shape at the moment, JP. It's waning quickly, but I pulled a hamstring on Tuesday at training, actually. I was just trying in a defensive drill for the first time for a while, just trying to get them to actually go looking for their numbers a bit and overcompensate and ping the string.
The other one I want to talk to, how many games did you play with Bernie Vince? Did you cross over for long at the Adelaide Crows?
Yeah, it would have been 100.
Right, so you would know how good a man he is. We all love Bernard. You also know that off the field and away from football, he, a bit like myself, he's a lover, not a fighter. So how is it when he gets across the line, he thinks he can start clubbing people?
Yeah, look, he's incredibly disappointed. He's he knows he's let the team down, and he knows it's not the way that he wants to be seen. He's a super competitive player when he crosses that line. The thing about Bern is he has always played in a way where his knees and his elbows seem to fly in different directions. Now, we call it a form of Tourette's, but which we're trying to eliminate out of his system. So he knows he's had it for his whole career. It's something that, you know, we need to really keep in mind. But, he's a great person. He's a great competitor that we want around at footy club. He's just got to get better at it.
And last one from me, Christian Petrarca. Everyone loves the way he's progressing. What are his instructions from you? Is he one of those blokes that gets a little more licensed than everyone else? Do you look at him and just go, you know what? He can produce X-factor stuff that few others can, so we'll just let him roll a bit.
Yeah, we sort of put him where the game demands. If we're struggling through the midfield, we'll whack him in there. He just goes hunting the footy, and if we're struggling down forward, he provides a great option for us. So we'll put him wherever the team needs him, and we know that when he goes in the air of the ball that he's so dynamic that he gets in the game pretty quick.
Simon, I know you wouldn't have just gifted Jack Trengova a turn AFL match last week. He clearly earned it. But was there something special about being able to give him that opportunity again?
Oh, it was really special, Damo. You don't make a heap of great phone calls in footy, but to ring Jack and say that you've earned this game and you're getting in. And he was getting into a team that was having a lot of players that were coming back into it. So he earned his position to come in. He played incredibly well in the first half, especially last week. And, you know, just speaking to his teammates, what he gave to the team down back was his voice communication, setting up, and also being really reliable in the contest. So he's earned this opportunity. He played really well, so he'll stay there and as his form dictates.
As we let you go, Goody, the other thing now is senior coach of the Melbourne Football Club, of course, and Mark Ricciuto, a board member of the Adelaide Football Club. You've been able to organically distance yourself from this man who's getting looser and looser the older he gets.
Yeah, no, it's been a real separation. It's been a teething problem. It's like when a mother lets their son disappear out of the family home. It's really tough, but we've worked our way through it and we're moving forward.
Good luck today, mate. It's a ripping story what you're doing with this footy club, and I hope things go well for the last sort of, or the next month or even two.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, we do this thing on a Saturday called Tell Us Something You Don't Know,
yeah,
where you get to hear stuff that you won't hear anywhere else.
Backroom stuff.
Backroom bristle. And it's not always, like, ready to go front page.
No.
It'll do is it'll initiate a front page.
It'll
come a week
views.
Later.
Mine's very back page.
That's it. So let's get to that in a sec. But before that, my understanding, Bristol, last night is, of course, the Sydney Swans and the Hawks, and therefore Andrew Pridham is the chairman of the Sydney Swans. And during what you'd think it'd be a normal sort of radio football interview.
Well, we're number one, Jim.
Our man, Naif, decided to go into a whole different realm.
He thought at this stage, we've had enough footy, and so I'm going to lighten the mood.
All right, let's have a listen.
On a lighter note, a very good mate of mine and Darcy's went to Madison Square Garden in New York not that long ago, paid $1,000 for some Bruce Springsteen tickets, got to the front of the gate and was turned away, said, sorry, sir, that was a fake. You had a similar issue with a Brett Whiteley painting.
Different scale, Brownie.
Different scale of $1,000, but and it ended up in court.
This is why we struggle to take him out to dinner, Andrew, for these very reasons. He's socially awkward.
This is the first and last interview with Andrew Pridham.
Juddy picked up on it straight away. Juddy's seen the look of disaster in this guy's face.
He had daggers going through him, Batiste. Well, it was a $2.5 million painting.
The man who tried to get into the Madison Square Garden was Robert Murphy, captain of the Bulldogs, obviously, $1,000 on a ticket. So when I was researching Andrew Pridham, obviously he's worth a lot of money.
He's been swindled by a world-class art swindler.
But I found that this would resonate with the Triple M listeners the most. And for a start, Darce has trotted out the old academy up in Sydney, and he's given that a pretty much a straight bat. Then Damo's gone with the succession plan. By this stage, the listeners are almost falling off their chair. Juddy hadn't talked since Judge Juddy. That was 25 minutes ago.
And
how he was clearly out of his depth. So I had to just lighten the mood a little bit. And if you're going to spend $2.5 million on a painting, I would be checking to make sure it's the real deal, Brian.
Yeah, but how do you do that? I mean, if a Whiteley was put in front of me, how do I know?
Well, men like that should know, Brian, well, I would have thought.
He took well to the question.
For a man who's used to awkward situations, Brioti.
I didn't find it awkward at all.
There you go, okay. So you're conditioned
to it. I found that he lacked the sense
sitting next
of humour
in very the box. Awkward.
Oh, now then we get to the mid-game. Apparently one of the more bizarre analogies used ever by an analyst working for our station. Let's have a listen to Chris Judd.
Well, it's a bit like when you're in jail and someone asks to borrow your honey, Howie. And you say yes, and next thing you know, they've got their pocket turned inside out and you're holding onto it and being led around the prison yard. That's what I worry is going to happen here with the AFL and Channel 7 if this doesn't clock off at 6 minutes flat.
What does any of that mean?
I don't know. I reckon he's looked that up on Google and he's completely stuffed it up. It didn't make any sense to me.
Well, then he took to you, BT. Have a listen to this.
Did he?
Something came across my desk today about Juddy.
You have a desk,
Juddy. Yeah, a desk. Juddy doing a function today down at the Paran Football Club, I think. And from what I was told, that they weren't overly interested in what you had to say. There was a lot of talk and a lot of knife and fork action out the back. Is that correct?
Look, it fell a bit flat, but I think BT was a bit off as host, to be honest. And he hasn't put a rinse through that hair for a little while, and there's no doubt his confidence is about 20% off when there's a few greys showing. So we'll blame BT.
So this is what I'm getting a sense of. There's a real, and it didn't used to be the case, there's a real Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
And never the twain shall meet.
Nah, it's a real split of teams now, I can assure you.
What about the way Juddy, though, just diverted off himself onto UBT?
Straight onto UBT.
He's gone the old hair and stuff, which has been, you know, went out a long time ago, Juddy. That was a sort of Robbo joke from the 70s and 80s.
All right, let's get into something you don't know, because this is the stuff that the Saturday audience absolutely love. You hear it nowhere else.
Now, look.
It's back room, quiet, just whispered under the hand stuff.
JB, there's been a reflective series in more recent time in the Herald Sun, Damo. I don't know where you've seen it.
Glenn McFarlane and John Rolfe for all week had a various issue each day. Goes back to 2001, basically.
Top 10 of this, bottom 10 of that, worst 10 of this. No, there's been no best. It's all been worst or bottom. Johnny Rolfe has been an interesting one to me that... he's been, as a result of this reflective series on all of these stars of our game, he's been inundated with high-powered phone calls that are coming back as a result of the reflective stories that he's been doing for a paper. None other than our own Triple M, the man that's not here today, Ducky's he's doing other things today, but he's not with us. But Duck was... I think it was the what was the heading? Do you remember, Damo? Or there was the
I saw his photo on the front page.
Top 10 absolute Chopo sort of. I forget what it was now. I'm just trying to think. Chopo sort of that sort of meaning. Scandals. That's it. And top 10 scandals. And Duck came in very high. In fact, at one stage there, I didn't need to open the Herald Sun. It was on the front page. A picture of Duck and someone else. I think. Was there and, the scandal thing. So I think Duck followed up with an immediate phone call.
Right.
Back towards John Rolfe's way. And John had just put the phone down and it bubbled off and bounced off its hook almost again because here's Campbell Brown because he'd been whacked in this other series of reflective stories about, guys that have perhaps not gone on to do great things, a few of them in jail and couple of other areas, and I think Campbell Brown of the people locked up in the clink, he'd come in about number three, so he's in amongst really good company there, and he didn't appreciate it. So the moment Wayne hung up, Campbell was on the phone, and he was also having a crack at Johnny. This is what I'm led to believe, you know, about the reflective series that... nice name, reflective, but it was really, you know, not happy for the individuals involved.
In your journalistic time, Purple, did that used to happen regularly where you'd just have the phone ring and the subject of the story gave you a nice little ear blasting?
Not aware of the absolute specifics of what BT's talking about, Jim, but you could, over the course of someone's career, write 99 beautifully favourable things about said person and then maybe venture into the negative space on one out of 100 occasions, and that's the phone call you get.
Both of those guys probably thought that they'd moved on and, you know, repaired things and, you know, probably didn't need to be on the front page again for the reflective series. I wonder whether there's another series five of the reflection to come.
I think they might have seen it out. I think they might have got the full value out of it. BT, just while you're talking, I can tell you something about your good self, actually.
You
should be bringing this to the table on the Saturday rub more than you have been.
I don't often hide stuff.
You've been appearing on Talking Footy for 3 or 4 weeks now. Jim, it's actually been a trial run for a permanent role. And I can tell you,
BT... Is this because the Duke... went this off on a 150-foot yacht in the
four
Caribbean
or 5 weeks.
Or the Mediterranean.
This is the Monday night Channel 7, 7:30 sort of
interestingly enough, though,
Talking Footy.
Darce is back, but BT will be staying on. And not will he be staying on to accommodate the great BT presence on TV. They'll be extending the show from 60 minutes to 90 minutes, and BT, Brownie, now becomes a... I'm just telling the other people...
Luke?
The permanent staff member of that particular program.
Well, I haven't heard that, but
BT,
great news.
What happens to Darce? You either know that or you're lying.
I haven't heard that.
What happened to Darce?
No, Darce will still be there.
Okay.
Darce is angling, I think. I haven't been told any of that yet, but that's great of Channel 7 to go the extra half hour.
To accommodate you.
If they were to request my presence, I'd be happy to be there. That request should come at some stage, I'm hoping. But like, there's Darce there, and that's all right, you know. It's good. It's a bit like the...
is it a bit of a power struggle with you and Luke?
No, there's not. But I, you know, I just wonder what's going to happen on the footy show. Brownie, what do you think?
We're moving. Hang on, we haven't finished this one yet, Bristol. Before we get to the footy show, I'm interested in this because, of course, Duke used to do the internet show... that you do, Purple, of course. He had
the access
all areas. Used to do that early, and then...
And Gary took it over.
Gaz just pulled that straight out from underneath him.
Oh,
And suddenly Duke wasn't involved in that anymore. And now, Brownie, he's gone to the Mediterranean on the 150-footer and had a three-week spell when he's been cruising around. And looks to me like Bristol's just walked in and... ripped the old talking out from underneath him.
Because it was meant to just be a fill-in, as I said, but you actually... Unbeknownst to you, maybe have been trialling you in that chair.
No, here's the truth.
And Darce will be staying. I want to make that
very
clear.
But
you will be joining him.
In the middle of the 26-week footy season, Darce decided to take just 3 weekends off. So I filled in for 3 weekends, and that's as far as it's
gone. You will be doing the show. Are you doing it Monday night?
I like that.
I am.
And you're doing it the following Monday?
Not
all the way through until the grand final?
I haven't been contacted
about
that.
Well, you better get your diary sorted out.
Nope.
Well, I'm new to this caper, but I did hear that at one of the networks around Australia, there was a current player going in there to do a show, and a former media person. So they've both made the same mistake.
Current player and a media player.
But from what I've been told, these are other people's words, a 10 out of 10 that works somewhere in this.
Not sure what that means.
Space. But... So all of a sudden, they didn't realise that all the microphones go right around the building and have started talking about various people in the building.
The on-air microphones.
The on-air microphones about various people around the
in
building
the ad
until
breaks.
The producer quickly said in their ear, this goes around the whole station, and they very quickly took the microphones off.
So too late had been...
A bit late. Yeah. All above board. Nothing nasty.
No, nothing nasty. A lot of talkies.
But you just got to realise that the microphone's always on, Brian.
It is always on, too. That could be embarrassing. Just a serious one to leave you with, JB. Mitch McGovern at the Adelaide Crows, I'm hearing that his management was in town during the week. Who's his manager? Young?
I believe it's Colin Young.
Colin Young. Yep. In town during the week. And I'm told that, that Fremantle are... the club that are really interested, which surprised me, thought naturally being West Coast Eagles, where his brother is.
Yep.
But it is actually Fremantle, and that the separation of offers between, you know, the potential Fremantle and the current Adelaide is is a lot of dollars, $300,000 or $400,000 in that separation. So
as you know,
Brownie, probably I reckon 150 is about the click mark where you would consider going interstate to another club if you were to transfer. So it's well in excess of what I would say is that.
So it's double basically and a little bit more, which is a no-brainer. You take that offer.
And he's going home.
And he's going home.
The co-home factor is important to him, but he is a Perth boy.
So watch the space on that one. I'm told that Adelaide are pressing for, in fact, have imposed deadlines and want answers so they can move forward.
On him and other out-of-contract players? Because you're big on Jake Lever.
I don't know about the others. Haven't heard about that.
All right, we need to get to a break. Tell us something you don't know. One of my favourite segments, Damo. What I like most about it is how it's couched. Well, I want to just
I'm not sure what Brownie
and work
like.
Out from somewhere.
We'll have to
in
ask
there
Brownie what he's talking about.
What actually happened? Time to get to some news with you, Purple. We did get the Matt Prudis angle out of you before. Let's move on from that one. Collingwood Footy Club, a source of great fascination, especially when things aren't going as well. The focus and the blowtorch and the magnifying glass goes always to that club. Mm. Gubby Allen, everyone keeps mentioning the fact that he may still have some involvement. What are you hearing?
As we discussed, Jim, on the Wednesday Rub on your Rush Hour program during the week, you're not going to get a straight answer out of Gubby. And I haven't spoken to him since the Wednesday too. So, look, the talk around footy is that he was given some form of undertaking by someone that he would be back at Collingwood when his penalty does expire, which is not that far away now. But with all the changes and the reviews going on, there could well be another chapter to that story. But there's certainly a feeling from people in his industry, they being the recruiters and the footy operations managers around the traps, that he was given it some form of assurance, BT.
Isn't it obvious that he would be back, given that Jeff Walsh was taken on as a temporary measure because of what happened to Gubby Allen, so therefore you would only assume that he'd be back?
You would think so, but he's not admitting to any of this. He doesn't, as you know, give too much away as a rule, and he's not on this occasion again. And there's clearly an unknown about it, because I think if it was as clear-cut as you say and as others read it, he would have said something by now. But Jeff Walsh, obviously part of the review, and he's actually conducting the football part of it. So, bit to play out on that front still. The Gary Ablett situation is interesting. Chris Scott spoke on another radio station last night and basically said it's going to be really hard to do. This is just Geelong positioning itself publicly on this. They are desperate to get him in, and we're going to find out how desperate Brownie they are by way of what they give up. And unless they give up something that's going to appease Tony Cochran, the chairman of the Suns, in this transactioning, Tony Cochran is a man who's wired in such a way he will make Ablett sit out football if he can't get the right deal. So that's the extremity of it, BT. But there's a bit to...
If he had to sit out football, would he ever come back?
Probably not at that age. I think he'd miss any...
And his contract next year is $1 million.
It is $1 million, yeah.
I must admit, when I was reading that article in the paper today on the back of that interview that you talk about, Damo, I thought this is all just spin from Geelong to get themselves in a good position.
Yeah. They're not going to be able to get him as West Coast did Sam Mitchell with pick 80, which is what they were initially hoping to do. They're almost doing Gold Coast Suns a favour by taking him, but they're not going to view it that way, and they're going to play hardball on it. So forget the nostalgia and the romance attached to it from the Gold Coast Suns.
And what about the number? Like, even if he goes to Geelong, are they then bound to pay him what?
Well, they won't pay him that, because they made sure that Selwood got more than Dangerfield when he came in, and that was an unwritten aspect of that approach to Dangerfield. They've got Hawkins on good money. They've got Taylor on good money still next year as well. They're not going to be able to get near the $1 million, and won't, because they won't pay more than the captain, Joel Selwood. But, Jim, as you know the way salary caps work, the $1 million that he's on for next year has to be attributed in salary cap form. Yep. So either it needs to be on the Gold Coast books or the Geelong books or both books, but you can't just remove the $1 million. He may take less in terms of the cash he gets and maybe smooth it out over 2 years, but the $1 million for 2018 needs to be on books.
Gold Coast Suns will turn around and say, well, if he's not playing for us, we're not paying it. And they've got every right to say that.
There comes a point, though, for Gold Coast Suns to take some of the hit on it, but it's what point that is. Is it 200? Is it 400?
Yeah, that's normally the case, Purple, when you're actually wanting to get a player out of your club.
Yep.
So therefore, you know, I'll go to you and I'll say, look, we actually want this bloke out. He's got 800 on his deal. We'll pay you 300. You pick up the other five and we're all good. This is a situation, as I understand it, where Gold Coast don't want him out. They actually want him to stay. So that's where I imagine Tony Cochran will turn around and say, well, why would we pay any of his wage? We actually want him to play for us.
Yeah. As we know, there's always a breaking point, and this breaking point will come during the trade.
The only thing I'd say about that, JB, is seeing what has happened so far this year, as the chairman of that club, would you want him playing in the current frame of mind that he's playing? Is he doing more harm than good?
It's a good question.
A very good question, Bristol. I can't answer you because I'm not at the coalface of the place. But when you've got those sort of salary cap issues that Damo's talking about, there's good will from a club if you're trying to plant someone somewhere else, I always reckon.
Yep.
But if you're trying to hang on to someone, I can't see how they would ever be happy paying Gary Ablett's wage if he's walked out of the joint.
And again, we don't like talking about the futures of coaches until it's done by the footy club, but it is unlikely, highly unlikely, that Rodney Eade's going to be there, BT. When the new person gets in, you would think that person, knowing that Ablett is on the books, would rather have him for his first year as coach than not have him. Now, if it was a bigger picture situation with the coach prepared to play the big picture game, but new coach coming in, I would think he would also have a say in it and deserves to have a say in it. We touched on Jared McVeigh before. We said some weeks ago, Jim, on the Saturday, Rob, that he has effectively become aware that the Swans won't be what he does next year by way of playing, but that he wants to go on. And if that is to be the case, it's going to have to change from the way the conversations have been going to this time.
So, in other words, he's aware that they don't think he's going to be
unlikely to be part of the playing list for next year. So he's in a dicey situation toward getting to 300 games, I think BT was saying
before. He has to play two finals to reach 300. Yep.
As of a fortnight ago, he wanted to play on into 2018 and was prepared to go to another club to do so under a Sam Mitchell type arrangement where there's a couple of years tacked on as an assistant coach as part of that deal. So, look, things change in footy, and I think his form's been really good the 3 weeks he's been back. He was pretty good last night, wasn't he, BT?
Yeah, he was okay last night. Yep.
So, again, other clubs are aware of this, and he will have, an offer to play somewhere next year. Jim, just the North Melbourne situation from last week. I know you covered the game. You're covering it again today. Zeeble being rested last week, back in the team today. Goldstein out last week and out again.
Yep.
And the positioning and posturing before the round 23 game against the bottom place team, Brisbane Lions. Brett Scott answered the question during the week and did, as you'd expect him to do, fired back and said there's no chance at all they're doing it. But as a former chairman?
I couldn't agree with him anymore. I use the word laughable, and I think that's a good word. I mean, you only got to do with North is just use your eyes and watch the way they're playing. You know, I mean, I remember back in the day when there was that whole tanking, you know, back in the, what are we talking, late 90s, early sort of through the early part of the 2000s.
Probably
when
Melbourne was the last celebrated
Brownie and Bristol, we used to sit at games and be bewildered at what was going on, at blokes spending a long time on the boundary, at blokes playing ridiculously out of position. There were times when you just seriously looked at the footy and thought, what the hell is going on here? There's something wrong. That's never the case with North Melbourne. They've got horrible injury, and I told you last week that what Zeebs was carrying was like a car accident trauma issue, you know, and it's amazing he's back out here playing today. I thought he really should be spending 2 or 3 weeks not playing, but he's a warrior. Taz came out, he's come back in. And Goldie, for me, has got a lot of work to do on his game of footy, you know, so I think he is absolutely justified in spending some time in the VFL. I don't think there's any positioning in that. His output over the last 6 weeks has not been anywhere near where it should be. And I think Brad Scott's got every right to be saying to him, mate, go back and, you know, until it starts meaning a bit more to you.
When you refer before to what happened in the past when it came to the word tanking, clubs are more sophisticated across the board now. I feel now the tanking word and referencing that we have in footy goes beyond the game itself. It goes to the management of the team week to week in the latter parts of the season. And I get why the questions were asked and will continue to be asked.
So examples of that would be
resting your captain who had played and had been either forced to play or chosen to play at every stage of this season, and then late in the piece then gets rested. I think the questions are valid, Jim. I know that it's abhorrent for you to think that it could be done, but clubs are pretty smart the way they can. I use the word manage, and some people may want to use the word manipulate scenarios around the composition of the 22
There are clubs...
Without actually using the game itself to be the mechanism by which they...
But why was that game any different to the previous six?
Because
it doesn't make any sense.
The captain was rested. The All-Australian ruckman was taken out of the team, finally.
Yeah, but it's not like you'd lost the previous six anyway, or five, or whatever it is. So I don't get why the Essendon game was any different to the previous five. Mm. It's of no sort of account to me.
If the form of the 17th team, North Melbourne, and the 18th team, Brisbane, stays as it has been recently, we're going to get to round 23, where this is going to be the biggest story of... I won't say the season, but it's going to be a very big story.
Brisbane played really good footy last week, as did North Melbourne. Yeah. So at the moment, you couldn't say either side is doing what people think they are doing.
Bristol's sheet here, Nath, is all I reckon. You look at the losses. The Port Adelaide game was a horrible loss interstate. But the rest, you've got a 17-point, a 1-point, a 19-point, a 4-point, and a 27-point loss. And Damo, these are the least experienced and least credentialed North Melbourne teams I've seen play for our club in my time of following them.
I think it sort of goes back to the 50s, doesn't it?
I've never seen a North Melbourne team this inexperienced.
Like in 2009, where Mark Jamar lined up on me in the back pocket of the MCG.
Well,
That's the sort of stuff that we've,
you know. So, look, I know Scotty was really strong on it, so he should be, because it talks to his integrity, and I think it's rubbish, to be honest.
BT, Travis Cloke back in the team today after his battles with mental health. It's great that he can get back to this team.
And I still think that if the Dogs are going to go anywhere this year, he is going to need to play a little part in that. Yeah. He's going to need to do his little bit. I think he still has got that little bit to offer. I know there's a lot of people around in the football world that think that he hasn't, but I personally think that he has.
You were dubious, Brownie, weren't you, when the Cloke move was...
I just thought it didn't suit their forward line setup. They're going to bring Cramery back in, who hadn't played for over a year. They're going to bring Cloke in. They already had Tom Boyd, who was a big Lumberson sort of guy. I just thought that the balance of their forward half was going to be out of whack. And it's he started well. I thought he started well when he was at the Bulldogs. But
maybe they were
trained off since then.
Depth, though, Brownie, that all of those guys were unlikely to ever play at the same time.
Yeah, and also on the Boyd situation, as of early in the week too, there's just the football side of what he's going through, Jim, is still a distant second. And I'll leave that one there, because there's so many unknowns. And look, hopefully he rolls up and starts training heavily this week, but that wasn't the indication I got early.
This is...
Tom Boyd, yeah.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.